Hey there, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening. This is the Lying Media Bastard Show. I'm Jake. Here's my intro.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living room. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Get hit alive, music, get high, now vibe to it. If it ain't soul music, then it ain't. Listen to the water still. Listen to the causeway.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Radioactive San Diego, the Lying Meaty Bastard Show. That just there was our pals, well, not our pals. It's the band Fear. I don't actually know them. I can't actually say they're my pals. But that's the song, Fuck Christmas. one of my favorites of theirs for, hopefully obvious reasons. For that, we had, R.E.M. doing Welcome to the Occupation, which, just seems so appropriate these days. A song, about occupation and occupiers and the occupied. Then for that we had, what do we have? Some fella named Automato. Automato? Automato? You say automato, I say automato. Let's call, I'm sorry, bad pun. A song called The Single. Don't know much about him. Hip-hop artist. I think it's his first album, so that's some newy news stuff for you. I realize I don't have background music going. What sort of communist am I? Let's go here. Okay. There we go. Get our daily dose of breakcore. I'm Jake, Lying Meaty Bastard Show. I have my my outline before me for today's show, and it's enormous. Possibly a little discussion about fictional media, just in general. That music is getting annoying. A little bit about possibly... No, I'll skip that one. A little bit about the possible opportunities for the average Joe in the world of radio in the United States. Clamor Magazine, Oaxaca, the Russian spy who got poisoned. My theory about worldwide drama. A little bit about the media and electoral politics. I'll talk this story right off the bat. This is a ridiculous one. There's a fellow who got elected in the recent congressional elections who he's Muslim. He converted to Islam from whatever he was before, and he has announced that when he is sworn in for Congress, that he's going to swear on a Quran. Apparently, right-wingers have gone apeshit over this. I could probably find us a good quote from some stupid right-wing fella about this. Hold on. But, you know, it's, I only found my quote first. Listen to the music. Everybody dance! Dance quickly. Okay, man, is our internet not working today? Sorry, folks, the internet is broken. You all have to go home. Okay, here we go. Let us find this fun quote. Let's see. Okay, the fellow's name is Keith Ellison, the congressman. I think when I edit this show together, I'm going to shorten that gap in some way. So Keith Ellison says that he's going to swear on a Quran instead of a Bible, because since he's a Muslim, that's his holy book. Now, some conservatives are saying that he should not be allowed to do so, arguing that if you are incapable of taking an oath on that book, don't serve in Congress. What Ellison and his Muslim and leftist supporters are saying is that it is of no importance. It is of no consequence what America holds as its holiest book. All that matters is what any individual holds to be his holiest book. Forgive me, but America should not give a hoot what Keith Ellison's favorite book is. Insofar as a member of Congress taking an oath to serve America and uphold its values is concerned, America is only interested in one book, the Bible. And man, he must have gotten himself a, like such a fundamentalist erection that I can't even imagine. Dear God, it's just so stupid. Like on the face of it, the reason that you take an oath on any sort of holy book, it's based on this idea that that book matters to you, so that when you do swear, your oath has some meaning to you. You know, if you're a Christian and you believe in God and somebody puts this book of God in front of you, you say, I swear to God and I'll do so on this holy book. And this book that's holy to me. Now, since this fella is a Muslim, swearing on a Bible wouldn't mean much to him because that's not his holy book. That's the whole point of swearing an oath on a holy book. Does this mean that somebody is not religious and you have them swear on a Bible or a Quran or anything, that it's meaningless? That is exactly what it means. You know, you can swear and mean it, but the book itself, you know, you have me swearing on a Bible, what the fuck do I care? I'm not a Christian. I'm not religious. Give me a Quran or, the Bhagavad Gita or, you know, whatever sort of holy books out there. And, yeah, it's Book of Mormon. No, it's not helping out. Which reminds me, there's a website I found the other day, MormonUnderwear.com, which is apparently, there's this myth that goes around that I've heard on many occasions that Mormons wear a certain sort of holy garment beneath their clothing that has religious significance to them, and that website is devoted to unraveling the myths about Mormon underwear. Musingly, when I visited the page, I don't know if they've edited it since then, they had a picture of an African-American man on there, and a friend of mine notified me that it's only very recently that the Mormon Church, like the 70s, that the Mormon Church actually said that African-Americans can be members of the Mormon Church in full standing. You could be a member before, you just couldn't be like a minister or anything if you were African-American for whatever fucked up reason. But I digress. The right-wingers are crazy people, which That could possibly be the subtitle of my show, Lying Media Bastards. And then below that, in like smaller italicized writing, it would say, Right-wing people are crazy. I could go with that. Moving on to my list of stuff to talk about. The Liberty Film Festival, the fun right-winger film festival that took place a few weeks back. The Anti-Corporate Film Festival, which actually sounds like a good thing. Black Thursday and Cyber Monday. Maybe a bit about this replacement for Rumsfeld, Robert Gates. Updates on that the cops tasering the UCLA student. The controversy, which I put in 50,000 quote marks, controversy about the people in Iraq who were burned alive by militants. You see a number of right-wingers who, as we've established earlier in the show, are crazy. I think that didn't happen, and that the Associated Press who reported the story, that they are biased or that they are working with the insurgents, which makes lots and lots of sense. Maybe a little bit about James Bond, the new Bond movie, some of the controversy made by its by statements by its new star. A little fraud involving Clear Channel, well, involving the company who's buying Clear Channel. And then lots and lots about Iraq. So, as always on every show, I start off, I read that table of contents of what I'm going to be talking about. And then on probably about half of those topics, just knowing how I do things, probably about half of those I won't be able to get to because I'll run out of time. Because we got to have music. Everyone loves the music. But we'll kick it off. I got good stuff for you in the show today, music-wise, too. But we'll get going with a nice little jam. This is Judy's Punk by the Ramones. I'm Jake, Lying Media Bastard Show. If you're listening live, you want to send me a message, hop on your AOL or Yahoo Instant Messenger. Send a message to Radioactive SD. If you're listening to the podcast, you can email me at jake@lyingmediabastards.com. Here's music. Jackie's punk, Gigi's a runt, they both went down to battles on the Oscar fight. And oh, I don't know why, oh, I don't know why, my cells are, oh yeah, my cells are, oh yeah, my cells are, oh yeah, my cells are, oh yeah. Second boss, same as the fight. Jackie's punk, Gigi's a runt, they both went down to battles on the Oscar fight.
you did. God knows when, but you're doing it again. You better duck down the alleyway, looking for a new friend. A man in a coonskin cap in a pig pen wants $11 bills. You only got 10.
Out of these troubled times, our fifth objective, a new world order, can emerge, a new era.
It's a new world order. The Bush boys coming. Check it.
Bush boys coming.
Yeah.
Bush boys coming.
Come on.
Bush boys coming.
Yeah.
Bush boys coming.
Uh-huh.
Bush boys coming.
Yeah.
Bush boys coming.
Come on.
Bush boys coming.
Yeah.
Bush boys coming.
Open your eyes and your ears and your hearts and your minds and you'll see that something's going on. Open your soul and your spirit. Your melon is trying to tell you, brother, something is wrong. Reagan and Bush and then Reagan and Bush and then Bush and then Clinton. Again. I never thought I would ever see the day when African people would say they Republican. Act like they love them, but ain't nobody saying nothing. Motherfuckers got their fingers on the button. Bush boys ready to blow. Ready for war. Niggas acting like they're ready to go. But I ain't going nowhere. I'm staying right here. Y'all better call the police to the streets. I'm gonna stand on my feet like Muhammad Ali with my fist in the air saying, power to the people. Bush boys ready to blow.
Bush boys coming.
Hey.
Bush boys coming.
Hey.
The Bush boys coming.
Hey.
The Bush boys coming. I want to take a few minutes to discuss a grave threat to peace and America's determination to lead the world in confronting that threat. The threat comes from Iraq.
Meanwhile, in Iraq...
Thank you. know I don't know, But so say different things while people up their yellow eggs, trying to torpedo in a heart, life's in almost everything. Sheep that ran up from the earth, maybe that now's a bird. Ever think you know why?
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Radioactive San Diego, the Lying Media Bastards show. That is there was System of a Down doing No off of their first album called System of a Down. For that we had Cat Power doing Good Woman, a fine, pretty song. For that we had Danger Mouse and Gemini doing Bush Boys. Danger Mouse kind of popular these days, but that that album sort of fell out between famous projects. First, Danger Mouse was known for doing the Grey album, where he mixed together the Beatles' White album and Jay-Z's Black album. And after he finished that, he got a little bit of notoriety, and then obviously a few years later, he did get a little bit more recognition for working with MF Doom on the Danger Doom album. That was sort of a mini plug for Cartoon Network's Adult Swim TV shows, and then Danger Mouse worked with CeeLo Green from Goody Mob, they did their Gnarls Barkley album, and that was his famous Through the Roof. But between those first two projects, he did this album with Gemini, and hence the funk, I would say. That song's called Bush Boys. Nice one talking about George W. Bush and his father and the Bush clan and their warlike propensity for war. For that, Bob Dylan, Subterranean Homesick Blues, one of the few songs that I really enjoy from Bob Dylan. I know he's done a lot of work over the years. Some of it is great, some of it is not so great. I find that one to be in the great category. The pump won't work because the vandals took the handles. That's a good rhyme. For that, we had Los Villains doing Killing Fields. About the sweatshop in the fields, really. It's you know, about the plight of immigrant farm workers. A bit ahead of its time, of course. That's a huge issue now with, you know, those racist-type folks who, you know, live all over this fucking country. But particularly here in San Diego, which is really depressing and frustrating. Lately, it keeps reminding me of this phrase. It was said by somebody clever, you know, Voltaire or somebody. They say, you can't reason a man out of what he was never reasoned into, which to me means that since these people who were so anti-immigration, they never, like, sat there and figured it out and, you know, did use their logic to say, wait a minute, I think the problem with this country is illegal immigration. They never did that, the whole logic deduction thing. They just sort of started feeling this. They started, feeling something wrong with them Mexicans, something wrong with the illegal immigrants. And so they believe it. But how exactly do you, like, you know, you can't, like, reason them out of what they think, because they didn't use reason to get there. It's a pure fucking emotional gut feeling by these people. and which leaves me at a loss. I don't know what to do to convince them that they're wrong and they're hurting people. I mean, the thing to me that's one of the hugest, weirdest, craziest things in this is, like, they want to get rid of all the illegal immigrants, and not a single thought, not a single mention of what that would do to this country and society. I mean, the numbers are something like, you know, 11 to 12 million illegal immigrants, and I'm hearing numbers now these days of like 22 million, 33 million just immigrants. And of course, most of these Minutemen folks, they don't really differentiate too much. By immigrants, they mean Latinos and illegal immigrants, legal immigrants, citizens, resident aliens. They don't really care so much. They just know that something's wrong with the country and the culture and the jobs. And it's like, you really think that this country of 300 million people, you can send away 11 million people and there's not going to be some sort of repercussions? Nobody's... Like I'm saying, you know, it's... reason is not the proper tool in this. And a lot of times, you know, it seems like confrontation is, you know, it just makes them feel more self-important. Oh, see, look, we got to fight. We got to fight these guys, the immigrants and the Reconquista and... Sorry, I don't have answers on this one. I'm just pissed. And then we started that set off. Judy's a Punk by the Ramones. I actually realized I have to play a song later. I have a country version, a country cover of our Ramones song, which will be fun. No, I really do have to play I have to speak. I have to speak on... the issue of Iraq. Now, around Thanksgiving, I believe we had the turning point, which will be the end of Iraq, as we know it. I don't like making big predictions, but it's hard to see it in any other way. Of course, for months and months now, Baghdad, home of nearly a quarter of the Iraqi population, has been a fucking meat grinder. You know, it's the... largely, it is the Shia... either the people who have infiltrated the military and the government, or the police, or it's people who are allied with those people, or folks who managed to get police and military uniforms. They actually say in Iraq now, on Iraqi state TV, it says that if Iraqi police come to your door, do not open the door and let them in unless they're accompanied by Americans. That's how bad it is right now, that either official police or people who've gotten official police uniforms are a complete threat, a big enough threat that they warn their people, don't open the door to police. That's honestly not a bad... it's not a bad recommendation in general for all countries, really. Don't open the door to police, but I digress. But yeah, so there was this sort of steady murder going on, mostly by Shia of Sunni. But of course you had the Sunni insurgency, and you also had sort of a movement by Sunni as well to evict, drive out, or also murder Shia people. And then you got... sort of the big turning point was right around Thanksgiving, where there was this series of car bomb attacks which killed over 200 people in Shia areas. Bombing attacks obviously carried out by Sunni. There was also a siege. The Sunni guerrillas surrounded the Iraqi Ministry of Health, and I don't believe they actually defeated them, but they were firing mortars into the area, and it was pretty scary. Then the Shia counterattacked, killed about 100 people, like the next day. And then they were attacking the Sunni mosques, and there were stories about Sunnis being lit on fire. There was a story that 6 Sunnis were taken out of a mosque or something like that, and were set on fire, doused with kerosene, burned alive. And as they're laying on the ground writhing, maybe they weren't entirely dead yet. I read the AP story said that the Sunnis went, the guerrillas, shot each one of these 6 people in the head to finally kill them. Now, as yet another crazy-ass thing from the right-wingers, they disputed this account. the U.S. military and the Iraqi government tried to claim that this person, the witness that the AP had gotten, he was some police officer. They tried to say, there's no police officer with that name in our records. And so all the right-wingers were saying, see, this is a big lie. This is the mainstream media are making all this up. And, you know, we know this is true, and the Associated Press is in cahoots with the terrorists, and oh my God. And then Associated Press said, this is fucking ridiculous. This guy has been a source of ours for years. He's not made up. You know, go ahead and say he's not real. We don't care. And then they went back to the scene of the crime and got about 7 more eyewitnesses to this attack. And I don't understand why right-wingers are so convinced they're right on this sort of thing. It's sort of like you find what you think is a flaw in a story, then you say, you know what, this makes me suspicious of that story. This is what I would do anyway, as a reasonable and cautious media-ish sort of guy. I would say, you know, that story looks kind of funny. If they're saying that this guy wasn't a part of the police, where did they get this information? Maybe it's not right. But no, the right-wingers, they're like, this story is wrong, and I'm going to lynch that reporter myself, and the U.S. is right. And I don't understand. I mean, and of course, just the opposite would have happened. Say this was Iran. Maybe there'd been a story in Iran about, like, Iranian police setting 6 people on fire. And if the Iranian government said, we don't have any such police officer on our rolls, what do you think the conservative pundits are going to say? Oh, well, you can't trust the Iranian government. They're all liars, and it's oppressive, and so, yeah. But so you had this upsurge of violence, which I think is just sort of that's it. I don't think as they say, I don't think you put the genie back in the box, even though genie is usually a good thing. This is not a genie. You can't put the Tasmanian devil back in the box, perhaps as a better analogy. Also showing the respect that the Iraqi people have for their government. The Prime Minister of Iraq, Nouri al-Maliki, went to some of the funerals for the Shia who'd been killed in those attacks by the Sunni around Thanksgiving, and he was pelted with stones by the people of Sadr City. So now, of course, one of the craziest bits in all this, I'm using the word crazy nonstop. Sorry, today is just insane people driving me insane. So in the government, in the Iraqi government, the parliament, I believe something like a good quarter of the seats are people loyal to Muqtada al-Sadr, who also is in charge of the Mahdi army, a Shia militia. And there's always this talk about how the Iraqi government has got to crack down on the militias. And you're all, wait, the Iraqi government is aligned with the militias, part of it. How exactly are they going to crack down on the militias? Even worse, in a lot of parts of Iraq, the militias are your security force. You know, if you're living in some part of Baghdad, you know, you can't trust the Iraq. You know, pardon me, I'm sneezing. You know, everyone seems to know that the police and the military aren't very helpful. You know, if you're going to be in the Shia area and you're going to be attacked by Sunni forces or just by regular criminals who have no political affiliation, really, who's going to protect you? Not the cops. Your local militia is going to protect you. So how exactly do they say we're going to... People don't want to get rid of the militias in a way because they're... You know, if it's an ally militia, they're one of the only people out there to take care of you. So, and then, of course, in the most recent development, which is, again, kind of insane, the George W. Bush was going to meet with Nouri al-Maliki in Jordan. Sort of a little fun thing. Apparently, Iraq not even safe enough for the president to go there anymore. But Bush was supposed to meet with him on Wednesday to discuss things, and Maliki didn't show up. He said that he'd have to make it the next day. In one of my favorite bad White House lies of the year, a Bush spokesman said that it wasn't a big deal. This was just going to be a social visit. you know, yeah, Bush flies to the Middle East, halfway around the world, just have a couple of brews with Maliki, his buddy, you know, they're pals, just a social visit. And I'm sure part of that, supporters of Muqtada al-Sadr, who are in the parliament of Iraq, have said that they are going to boycott the parliament, boycott the Congress, if Maliki met with George W. Bush. Well, I mean, so where does that put us? Bush wants to have this meeting, and honestly, I think that's why Maliki didn't go the first day, was it was like, if I meet you in Jordan, I no longer control my government the next day. I should start looking for real estate in Jordan if I go out there to meet with you. So I think with the one-day thing, he was able to sort of make some compromises with the Sadrists, or was able to make it look as though he didn't care as much, or something. But that was my feeling on how that went down. And he did actually meet with Bush today, and says in what I cannot possibly believe to be true, he says that Iraqi forces can take control of Iraqi security in June of 2007. Every other fact I read about the Iraqi police, Iraqi military, about the crumbling security situation, about the brain drain. That's what they call it when sort of your professional class, the academics and the doctors and the lawyers and so on, when they start leaving the country, which they have been in droves. It's my understanding that 8% of the Iraqi population, of the pre-war population, has left. They were driven out of the country. You know, religious fundamentalists were starting to target the professors and the doctors and those folks because they were seen as too closely linked to the West. So they had their choice of, religious fundamentalists, I'll just teach what you want me to teach. Or they could hide, or they could leave. Where's I going with this? But yeah, so I cannot possibly believe that the Iraqi military and police will be ready to protect the people of Iraq from militia violence or from criminal violence by June 07, particularly because the Iraqi police are part of the violence against those same people. Now, we've got here in Washington. Apparently all the buzz is about the Iraq Study Group, or is it the Iraqi Survey Group, I forget, ISG, the bipartisan commission that was going to come up with suggestions about the Iraq situation, and it's largely been, there've been two sort of interpretations I've heard about the ISG. Headed up by James Baker, a Bush family friend. One version I've heard is that James Baker was there to find some political cover that would allow George W. Bush to pull out of Iraq and not have the public humiliation of having to retreat from a failed war of his own making. The other version I've heard is that Baker was there to lay down the law and tell Bush what he had to do to get out of there. And it was sort of like this idea that this was a move by Bush's father, George H.W. Bush, to sort of maintain the family legacy that he feels his son is screwing up. And he sent in his fella, James Baker, to go in there and have his son, you know, somebody tell him, you know, what the hell's going on. Don't know which it is. I'm leaning more towards the first, because I did hear stories about how Baker and the ISG were trying to figure out what they could tell Bush, what he wanted to hear, so they could shape what they were going to say. Now, it should be very obvious that this isn't a legitimate commission, because there are no Iraqi or Middle East experts on it. It's a 10-person team, none of whom were elected. None of them is an expert on Iraq. None of them are Iraqi veterans. None of them have, you know, served in the Iraq, you know, were in members of the military during the Iraq War. None of them are from the Middle East. And granted, it sounds like they brought in consultants and experts about all these things, but, you know, if you were having a commission on, like, farming, you know, you'd want somebody who was a farmer to be in there at some point. You wouldn't get 10 guys who'd never farmed anything and let them interview a real farmer. You say, hey, how about we get a fucking farmer on our panel here? So that should be very obvious. It's all political operatives who are part of this bipartisan commission. But almost all the politicians in Washington, it sounds like what their goal is they're pinning their hopes on this thing, on the Iraq study group, because it's bipartisan, and they assume it'll have to involve some sort of withdrawal, their recommendations, everybody wants to be able to just say, oh, we're going with what the bipartisan commission says. I'm just doing what they say, because they're the experts, and they study this, and they're bipartisan. And that way, you know, because obviously the Iraq war is unpopular and unwinnable, and you know, anybody who's not an idiot wants to get out of there, which is, of course, why Bush wants to stay. Now, the only thing that I keep hearing that makes any sort of sense about actually fixing Iraq or stabilizing it, you keep hearing these people saying, well, you know, Bush should talk to Iran and Syria and see if he can get them to calm down the Shia and the Sunni. Well, not a bad idea, but I can't imagine it would work, because Iran and Syria aren't going to do this for free. They've got demands, they've got agendas, they've got issues, and I don't think the things that they want, the U.S. would be willing to do. You know, Iran, obviously, they want the U.S. out of Iraq, period, which, you know, if we had a saner president, well, that would be something we had on the same side. Hey, you want us out of Iraq, and we want to leave Iraq. But surely they are going to want the U.S. to leave their nuclear program alone. It's either their nuclear weapons program or their nuclear energy program, depending on whether they're telling the truth or not. They keep claiming it's just about nuclear energy. But is the U.S. going to do that? I can't imagine that Bush would be willing to back down on that. And then Syria, they would want an end to the investigation that they were involved with killing that guy in Lebanon, Hariri. I don't remember if he was the president or prime minister, or I don't remember what his position was. But all that was blamed on Syria. And they're going to want an end to that commission. They're going to want to reestablish their hold in Lebanon. And they might even want the Golan Heights back from Israel. And if they want to start making demands about getting land from Israel, that opens up a whole other can of worms. Suddenly the whole Israel-Palestine situation is on the table. And if that's on the table, then everyone in the Middle East has an interest. So, like I'm saying, unless Syria and Iran want the U.S. out of Iraq so badly that they're willing to, you know, suspend most of their demands, I don't see how that's going to make a difference. And, of course, the Iraq Survey Group, they released, you know, rumors of their reports are coming out lately, and it sounded like they do want to call for a... for a withdrawal, a withdrawal, but they don't want to put up a timetable or an end date. I believe last I'd heard, the several members of Sadr's supporters in the Iraqi Congress said that they will continue boycotting the parliament until the U.S. gives a timetable for when they're leaving, something that the U.S. is refusing to do. And, I mean, the only way out of this, it just sounds like the lie that al-Maliki said, hey, we can take over in June 2007. That sounds like utter bullshit to me. But I think that's about the only way that anybody's going to get out of this, because the U.S. wants to save face. They could say, oh, yeah, sure, you know, if you say you're ready in June, hey, if you're ready, then, you know, then we'll start leaving then. But, you know, yeah. All right. So I talked about Iraq, and that's, honestly, that was, in my mind, that was pretty comprehensive on the whole topic. But, yeah. I'm Jake, Lying Media Bastard Show. My website's lyingmediabastards.com. I'll be writing up most of that stuff for an article probably today or tomorrow. Yeah. Oh, and then I'll just mention, I mentioned two film festivals in my little table of contents. One is Ridiculous, a right-wing one that I'll talk about later. And then the good one is the anti-corporate film festival, which is happening this weekend in San Francisco, which you all might want to check out if you live up there or near there. If you want information, the website is countercorp.org. countercorp.org. They're playing some good. They're playing the documentary of the Corporation. They're playing several movies about pirate radio. Let's see, The Future of Food, Severance, which actually looks like a very funny British horror film about people at a business retreat, a get to know you team building retreat. But yeah, countercorp.org if you want to check out about that and give it a listen. I think you should. And I'm going to hop into the next song. This is going to be a little from Rhyme Fest, doing a song called Bullet with his pal Citizen Cope.
Straight out of high school, we didn't know what to do. Wanted to go to college, but no money was nothing new. Wanted to get away, go see the world and do something new. He got approached in the mall by the army recruit. Told him if he wanna go to school, we got money too. Son up at 18, you'll be out when you're 22. He joined the army airborne, got his uniform, went to boot camp, got some discipline. I rock him when he's shipping him. He's in the midst of war, bullets flying and missing him. Wishing he was a kid again with his family in Michigan. In the midst of fighting militiamen, one round took down six of them. He ain't really a killer though, taking a lot of risk. This is what a poor person do for a scholarship. Then he turned around and got a face full of hollow tips. But don't be mad, he died for the flag.
But what you die here is put yourself between a bullet and a target, and it won't be long before you pulling yourself away. Between a bullet and a target, and it won't be long before you're pulling yourself away.
Papa was a player, just what to say to get the women back to his layer. LA, his sex had a trophy, he's the Heisman touchdown. Hitting models, R&B chicks and buzz downs. He got the women with crazy stares with his lady there. They ain't care, they like, ooh, look at his baby hair. He took them all, put them in a line. Hit five new chickens, they thought they was fine. Got here from five dope fiends, smoking the dime. And did it all wrong, dog, it ain't dog, I ain't lying. Till he woke up one season with lesions. Went to the doctor, asked him what was the reason. Test read positive, he couldn't believe him. He trying to blame God, asking why did he leave him. Pleading, please let the disease leave him. For women that he conquered, he called
my what eyes. You done here is put yourself between a bullet and a target.
Okay, okay. Now when the sun goes down on our side of town, on the other side of the block where cops ain't around, on the same side of the street that Pac hit the ground. Not in Vegas, cause every nigga got Pac in them now. When my guys hit the block and we prove what we does. I ain't on no swim team, but you see pools of blood. Skip Judy when you die, she ain't who's to judge. Oh, you married to the game? Prove your love. Prove it. Hit the strap, shorty, shoot it, do it, just do it. This ain't a game, this an organized movement. My hurt, my love, my pain, my stress. My strife, my wife, my life, my test. We made for more, we die for less. When you starving in the ghetto, I'ma write the rest. See, my girl think I'm hard, and my mama think I'm hard. But when I'm all up in the dark, I just fall on my knees.
What you got here, put yourself between a bullet and a target. A bullet and a target. A bullet and a target.
pride is about nationality. You're wrong. You're wrong when you imprison people turning tricks. And you're wrong about trickle-down economics. If you think that punk rock doesn't mix with politics, you're wrong. You're wrong for hating queers and eating steers if you kill for the thrill of the hunt. You're wrong about wearing fur and not hating at culture, 'cause she's a cunted cunt. Or you're wrong if you celebrate Columbus Day. And you're wrong if you think there'll be a Judgment Day. If you're a charter member of the NRA, you're wrong. You're wrong if you support capital punishment. And you're wrong if you don't question your government. If you think her reproductive rights are inconsequent, you're wrong. You're wrong fighting jihad. Your blind faith in God. Your religions are all flawed. You're wrong about drug use when it's not abuse. I hope you never reproduce. You're getting high on the down low, a victim of the COINTELPRO. You're wrong, and we'll probably never know.
Let's go. don't you?
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Lying Media Bastards on Radioactive San Diego. That is, there was Bread and Circuits. I don't know the name of the song. I found it online, and it only says that it was track 4, and I can't find a track listing for that album anywhere. For that, we had White Stripes. White Stripes are kind of my go-to guys if I want myself a good rock or blues or country or ballady sort of thing. That was Instinct Blues, which... That song has more significance to me because it was in the movie The Science of Sleep. It was during a rather important scene. For that, we had Happy Drivers doing a cover of Madonna's La Isla Bonita. I believe that's a French band. But I really kind of like how that they sort of went back and forth from sort of a dance flamenco style into like psychobilly. And that was fun. For that, Maxi Gale and Play Colt doing Making Love in the Summertime. NoFX doing You're Wrong. The punk band doing a little folk thing. But he does use some language I don't approve of. Swearing I don't mind. He used a misogynist slur when discussing Ann Coulter, who obviously Ann Coulter is a bad, evil, awful person. But that's not the sort of language... It sort of focuses on the female part of it. You know, it's not like, you know, she's a bitch or she's evil or, you know, whatever. I won't play that one again. And then we start off with Rhymefest doing Bullet, which I thought that was a really interesting thing. It was, in some ways, that was a really great song lyrically, and in some ways, it reminds me of other songs that are sort of like, each verse is sort of about a social problem. And then if you sort of call for, you know, sanity and rationality and compassion. But in the chorus, there was this nice one, that line that said, what you've got is you get between a bullet and a target. So the first verse was about going to Iraq because you're poor and you don't have enough money to go to college. Next one was about having lots and lots of unprotected sex. The guy gets AIDS, and honestly, I can't remember what the third verse was. But just sort of this idea that, you know, you put yourself in a situation where you're going to get hit. And, So, more depressing stuff to talk about, obviously. I have to talk a little bit about Oaxaca. I'd had such good news earlier in the months about, you know, the people rising up and you know, peaceful resistance and you know, building democracy and all that, and now the police have come in and it's just, they've just cracked down on everything. I'll just read you some bits here. This was in the Village Voice newspaper. The crisis peaked Saturday when federal police battled with masked youths hurling Molotovs, fireworks, and rocks. The violence followed a peaceful march by thousands seeking the removal of federal forces occupying the city. More than 150 people were arrested and dozens injured during the clashes, including a journalist who got nailed in the head with a tear gas canister, and at least 10 people who were hit by live ammunition, according to local human rights group. Government offices, hotels, and cars were set ablaze. It was worse violence in Oaxaca in the 6 months since members of the protest coalition APO began demanding the removal of the state's governor, Ulises Ruiz, who they claim was fraudulently elected. Let's see. APO is now claiming that 6 demonstrators were killed and their bodies taken by police. State officials insist no one died, but independent journalist John Gibler reports that bands of armed men entered hospitals in the city and allegedly removed wounded protesters at gunpoint. Meanwhile, leaders of APO have gone into hiding as both federal and state authorities pledge to hold them criminally accountable for what's been estimated as $27 million worth of damage. Arrest warrants have been issued for 200 activists, and contingents of elite riot police in ski masks are reportedly raiding people's homes. People are being grabbed off the street and put into trucks and disappeared, one American in Oaxaca, who asked not to be named, told The Voice. All the internationals are leaving town. The fear and confusion over the missing and as-yet-unverified dead protesters does not bode well for those hoping to get to the bottom of Brad Will's murder. Let's see... Yeah, so it's looking... It's bad. And I went to Narco News to get another article on this, and there's a good one called The Coup d'Etat in Mexico, which I'd recommend reading because it talks about what's going on in Oaxaca, and then goes broader, talks about the other campaign, the La Otra Campaña, that the Zapatistas did this past year, where they went all over the country and just talked to the people who lived in the various cities and villages about their own experiences, about the oppressions they face and the resistances they've offered. He also talks about Mexican Congress itself and how there are people who apparently are already opposed to the incoming president, Calderon, and but he's predicting that Calderon is going to be the worst yet. He's going to be ruthless and violent to try to put down the protesters in Oaxaca and maybe in Chiapas, where the Zapatistas are from. But he has this hopeful passage at the end. I'll read you. The new regime is going to come in most likely with nightsticks and guns blazing. Not all of us are going to survive it. But the day is coming when millions will stand up all at once and overpower the powerful who have created two opponents for everyone they have jailed, three for everyone they have killed. And from this small corner, that of an observer with a laptop, come what may, it has been the greatest privilege of this life to listen, learn, document, and report over so many years from the first-rate country that is Mexico from below. It has shown all of us, in every corner of the earth, a new way to fight. You won't read it in the commercial media, and there will likely be moments to come when they succeed in peddling the myth that all hope is lost. But the following conclusion is evident to anyone that has really been listening to the sound from below. The coup d'etat is here, but it will not stand. So, I'm realizing I had really unfortunate music playing in the background there as I read that. So sort of weird mariachi thing. I'm going to skip that to the next song. There we go. But things look bad. But Al Giordano, the head of Narco News, wrote that article, and he seems to think that justice will prevail in the end, the people will prevail, and I don't know if I can buy into that. I certainly hope so. I'm going to try to cover up some of these tons of things I said I'd talk about. The Radio for People Coalition is a new organization, which is apparently the FCC is supposed to reopen a type of FM radio license called Educational Community. What is it? Educational Nonprofit Education Community? Something like that, where you can, if you have this license, it would be sort of PBS-ish stations, where, it wouldn't be a for-profit station. It'd be about, school, learning, education, serving the community. And let's see, what do they call that license? The non-commercial educational license. Radioforpeople.org is the website, and they are all about trying to help people in local places get involved and apply for one of these licenses to get a radio station to have the legal right to broadcast. Obviously, you can broadcast without a license. It's not legal. You may get harassed. Probably cheaper. Let's see. So here's what requirements. There must be an available frequency in the location where you're trying to set up this station, meaning I think that it has to be, 0.2 tenths hertz, megahertz, whatever on each side, so kilohertz. So it'd mean if you wanted station 106.9, for example, that would mean that you'd need on either side to have I don't think there could be anything at 106.9, at 107.1 or 107.3, and in the other direction couldn't be anything on 106.7 or 106.5 to legally get that. You need to have a place to put your transmitter and your antenna. You need to you probably need a lawyer, they say. Probably need to do a frequency check. Then it says, you'll need to demonstrate you have access to enough funds to construct the station and operate it without revenue for 3 months, which means that you would need somewhere between $50,000 and $250,000 for that. So that's my main problem with this effort, is that you can do a small radio station without getting anyone's permission that's not interfering with any other frequencies for much, much less than $50,000, much, much less than $250,000, to be sure. But still, it would be nice if you were going to have a pirate station to not have to always worry about being raided or getting FCC fines or whatever. And actually, FCC fines, I think your first fine is like $10,000 if they find that you've broken the law and were broadcasting without a license. So that's, you know, one-fifth of what you would need to have to get the legal right to do that. What else is on my magic list? Let's see. Oh, the Right Wing Film Festival. The Liberty Film Festival took place a few weeks back, which is funny. It's this right-wing idea that Hollywood is liberal and leftist, and therefore they need to counter it. They need to take over. They need to make Hollywood into a right-wing thing. The most interesting part of this article, this was by Max Blumenthal at The Nation magazine. He found out that, you might remember a few months back, ABC Television broadcast a docudrama called The Path to 9/11, which was very biased and pretty much blamed 9/11 on Clinton and praised how Bush had done in fighting terrorists. And aired on two different nights with no advertising, and I've never figured out how they afforded to do that, or if it was like a political choice. You know, ABC says we're going to lose the money on this, but you know, goddamn it, the Republicans will pay us back when they win the elections. Ha ha ha. But Blumenthal finds out that Vice President of Special Projects at ABC, a woman named Judith Tukich. She was involved with a project for the plant Path to 9/11 movie, and she was given a Freedom of Expression Award from the Liberty Film Festival. Kind of strange, kind of funny. The conservatively biased documentary that she had a part in, and now she's getting awards, proudly receiving awards from conservative film festivals. Blumenthal apparently tracked her down at the event and tried to ask her if she thought it was appropriate for ABC to accept award from an organization openly pushing an ideological conservative agenda inside Hollywood. She said that ABC is a nonpartisan network, and where'd it go? Apparently she then says, you know, accountable, what do you mean I have to be accountable? And then she fled, and then Blumenthal claims that the director of that film, Cyrus Nowrasta, I'm probably pronouncing that badly, he tracked him down and started demanding explanations, and says that blames Max Blumenthal, the journalist, for him being blacklisted. No one will hire me to direct films, and I know it's you. You've been calling all of these companies and telling them not to hire me. It's all your fault. Which is, you know, kind of funny. I heard a radio interview with Blumenthal on that same topic, and he says that he gave the same answer he gives to every conservative director who blames him for not getting work. He says, it's not my fault that you don't have any talent, which made me snicker. But of course, you know, it's Hollywood. Talent is not required. And I really wonder, for like this conservative film festival, I'm wondering how many people send their movies into this because they're true blue conservatives, and they make these films because they believe in these issues, and they also want to take over Hollywood and be, you know, have it be a conservative place. And I wonder how many are just hacks who are out there thinking, dude, no other film festivals will take me, but if I make a conservative movie, if I make a right-wing movie and send to this film festival, they'll play it, and that'll be the start of my film career. I'm honestly thinking that it's more the latter. I mean, I got friends who are trying to get into the film industry, and it's not simple in the slightest. And, you know, it's one of the most popular jobs in the world, being a film director, and there's very few slots and very little money that people have. I mean, people just don't have. I mean, it costs millions to make a lot of these films. Okay, enough of that. What else have I got? Crap. Oh, another fun one, Daniel Craig, who is the actor who plays James Bond, and he's the new James Bond of the James Bond movies. Apparently, he was being interviewed, and he says that he thought that there should be some, I forget the exact term, some gay material in the new James Bond movies that are coming that he will star in. Well, let me find an exact quote. But it's just funny because, you know, while right-wingers, of course, went nuts, and I think most of the women I know lost their minds with lust because I know many women who've been talking fondly of Daniel Craig since the Bond movie came out. Let me see, where's Craig's exact quote? I'm going to waste too much effort for this one little bit. I'm sorry. Let's see. Daniel Craig is urging movie bosses to revolutionize the James Bond franchise by including a gay scene involving the super spy in the follow-up to Casino Royale. The heartthrob actor has also reportedly told studio chiefs he is prepared to film a full frontal nude scene to please both his male and female admirers. He says, why not? I think in this day and age, fans would have accepted it. So upon hearing that, right-wingers lose their shit. And think about it. I mean, if James Bond is supposed to be this super spy, you know, protecting Britain from international terrorism or whatever, do you think he really wouldn't, like, seduce some man if that man was up to it? I just think that kind of is logical. Let's see. Now, this is quotes from FreeRepublic.com, who are crazy bastards. Just various quotes. Craig is the worst thing that could have ever happened to the Bond franchise. How did this poofter end up as Bond anyway? He'll be on my list on December 1st, AIDS Awareness Day, when I will be wishing AIDS upon my enemies. Let's see. Sean Connery was the best Bond of all. He is so masculine, not like this dweeb doing the new Bond movie. Afraid of guns, breaks out in a heat rash, can't drive the Bond car, doesn't like martinis. Jeesh, a real Nancy boy. I saw the latest Bond movie and it is excellent. Not sure the masses are ready for a Brokeback Bond. My suggestion is to boycott anything with Daniel Craig in it. Let's see. Apparently there was a problem finding an actual man to play James Bond. They settled for a girly male. I have seen every Bond movie. I am skipping this one. What a retard this guy is. It would ruin a very successful franchise. I haven't ever even seen this version yet, but I hate him already. One and done, like George Lazenby for Daniel Craig. Any straight actor who lobbies for fag scenes isn't even remotely straight. Memo to the closet dweller Craig. A large part of the appeal of James Bond is that he's the ultimate ladies' man. The homo or bi Bond destroys the character utterly. He is nothing short of incredible that anyone should doubt this. So it's a wonderful, tolerant world we live in. But those are crazy people. That's the theme of today's show. Crazy people. I've got, oh, and then a fun little bit. Let me find you this article. Last week, I talked about... Not last week, I wasn't here last week. The week before last week, I did my show and I talked about Clear Channel. Clear Channel had been sold to a couple investment brokerage houses. It wasn't like they were actually bought up by another company. It was this weird... consortium. It was like two big investment firms bought the Clear Channel. And it turns out that one of those, Thomas H. Lee Partners, has been accused of fraud. Not regarding the Clear Channel case, but something else. Where'd it go? One of the two major investment groups involved in the purchase of Clear Channel, Thomas H. Lee Partners, has been accused of violating Securities and Exchange Commission requirements and is currently on trial for fraud in France. Thomas H. Lee Partners is the world's second largest private equity firm. Let's see. Shareholders filed a lawsuit filed this week in the Manhattan Federal Court accusing Thomas H. Lee Partners and the Carlyle Group of illegally conspiring to drive down the prices they paid when taking companies private and of violating antitrust laws when they teamed up to make leveraged buyouts. In June 2005, the Thomas H. Lee Partners was hit with a $1 billion lawsuit filed in Paris, which accused them of international fraud. So, that's possibly who's taking over Clear Channel, an international fraudulent company, which is really probably most corporations. Let's see. Just a quick mention, this past week we had Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Black Friday, of course, is the name that has been given to the busiest shopping day of the year. It was never called that before. That was obviously a PR creation, because I don't know where that name came from. And I don't know what you'd call it, Black Friday. Allegedly, that's when a lot of companies actually do their business. That's the start of the hyper-consumerist Christmas season, which will drive me nuts for the next 3 weeks. Maybe 4 weeks. And, but yeah, and then Cyber Monday is even a more fabricated one. It's the idea that the big sales start on Friday after Thanksgiving, and that on Monday, many people who don't usually have access to computers go into work, where they do have computers and internet access, and start buying things for their relatives. I think that's nonsense. I don't know anybody who would like, you know, because if you're buying something online, it seems like you have more time to purchase. You don't need to buy your Christmas presents, you know, online that, you know, that just a few days after the start of the season. And even funnier to me is that, you know, they have all of these stock TV news stories. I'm here outside the local mall, where so-and-so, many people have been shopping and cashing in on the great deals at Mervyn's and Robinson's and whatever. And then they, like, they interview some of the people. Oh, yeah, a lot of great deals. I bought $1,000 worth of stuff. Ha, ha, ha. No, there were lines and riots and, you know, and what's funny about that is it's not news. It happens every year. It would be a bigger story if it was if Black Friday came around like, I'm standing outside the mall and nobody came. It's an empty mall. Only 3 people shopped here today. That would be news. The fact that people are buying stuff at a sale is not really a news story. Let's see here. Oh, and then another bit of sad news. Clamor Magazine, the radical activist magazine, they apparently are going out of business, shutting their doors, whatever your term is. Sounds like for financial reasons. They did some good work, and it's unfortunate that they're closing down. They also, but apparently two side projects of Clamor, I talked with on email with one of the editors of Clamor after hearing about this. And it sounds like they had a distro, an online distro of other radical publications called InfoShop, not to be confused with the anarchist news website InfoShop. This was sort of a play on words. Anarchists use the term InfoShop to sort of mean a political library, whereas the this Clamor magazine service was sort of a play on words. Play on, you know, sort of a punny look at that. Let's see what that website is. I guess just go to, like, clamormagazine.com, and there'll probably be a link to the info shop. Get yourself some books and whatnot. But then, let's see. But the other project they had was the Allied Media Conference, which was an indie media activist zine sort of thing. They held it every year in Bowling Green, Ohio, which is where they were coming from. And although apparently in 2007 it was going to be it was planned for Detroit, and but I talked when talking with Mr. Clamor guy, apparently they are going to have it again this coming year in June in Detroit. I think I'm going to head myself out there to check that one out. What have I got here? I got more music. I referenced this song earlier. This here is gonna be, let me find out who it's by. I don't even remember. You know, I'm not sure who it's by. Let me see if I can find the info. Well, damn it. It's a country band doing a cover of, the Ramones. Man, today's been like the slowest show ever. I just keep pausing. Okay, it's a country band called Two Tons of Steel doing the Ramones' I Wanna Be Sedated. So I'm going to go with that, and I'll talk to you all in a bit. Thanks for listening. Blah, blah, blah.
'20, '20, '24 hours to go. I wanna be sedated. No place to hide, no place to go. I wanna be sedated. Put me on a train. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Before I go insane. Well, a ticket for my fingers and a ticket for my brain. Oh, 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 oh. 20, 20, 24 hours to go. Oh, I want to be sedated.
no place to go. I wanna be sedated. Take me to the airport, put me on a plane. Hurry, 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 before I go insane. Well, a ticket for my fingers and a ticket for my brain. Oh, 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 oh. 24 hours to go. I wanna be sedated. No place to hide, no place to go. I wanna be sedated. Put me in a wheelchair, take me to the show. Hurry, 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 before my mind explodes. Well, a ticket for my fingers and a ticket for my toes.
Thank you.
brings us to the end of another Lying Media Bastard show. Last song was Ministry. Heard that Rasputina doing Digophilia. And we started that with the 10 Ton Steel, or whatever their name was, country band doing I Want to Be Sedated. I'll be writing more on my website, lyingmediabastards.com. Check all that out. And, yeah. Hey, you want to join our station? Write to us. RadioActiveRadio.org. Check the contact section, and we might want to take you aboard if you're local. Or I should start advertising. If you have a political radio show somewhere else, contact us. Maybe we'll add it to our rotation. If you're good and we like each other, we could help each other out and stuff. I'm done talking.